something from the far reaches of the galaxy.
Oh, what is it?
Steve Oteo and the AM brings you Theology Thursday with Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro. Get your questions in at studio@star88.fm.
Yep. It's time.
It's that time of the week.
Yeah.
Theology Thursday. Today is a different... Have we ever done a show with just the three of us?
We have. I think we have. I think Matt and I have done just one.
Wow.
Really? I think so.
Yeah. Weird.
I don't know.
It is Theology Thursday. We normally have a full house, but today DJ Tanner is not here.
Amen.
That's Steven.
That's Steven Christian.
And Kimmy Gibbler, that is Phoenix. Not here either. But don't worry,
but I'm
Uncle
here. I
Jesse's
showed up.
In the house.
Yeah!
Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
No, I feel like Jarrett would be Uncle Jesse.
Yeah.
Steven would be Uncle Joey.
That's true.
And Phoenix would be
That's
Danny
so true.
Tanner.
Wait, then who am I? Can
you
I be Steve?
Are Kimmy Gibbler.
For those in your 30s, you're probably laughing. Everybody else younger,
No,
what?
You're not.
I don't understand what's
you're
happening.
You're Becky.
Who's Becky?
She's the neighbor.
That's Uncle Jesse's wife.
Hey, cut.
Oh,
it out.
Yeah,
that's Uncle
that's
Joey.
Weird.
That's what Steven says. Yeah. You can't say that. Quit trying to steal other people's lines, Lori Loughlin.
That's right.
Wow. It's Theology Thursday. We're gonna discuss the theology of Full House today.
Yeah.
And how Candace Cameron Bure is now going to be on The View.
Actually, it could be a theological question because it's like, is heaven going to be for a fool?
Okay. That's actually an interesting commentary that we could discuss at some point because it's true. Candace Cameron Bure, she played DJ Tanner, a very outspoken Christian. She's joining the cast of The View. And so...
That's kind of weird.
When I think of The View, I think Whoopi Goldberg and angry women just complaining about everything and hating humanity. That's what I think of because... That's my perspective on The View. So she's joining The View, you know?
And it's, yeah. I'm not a fan, honestly. Yeah. I'm just not. So.
Well, as a feminist, I have to be.
We knew you were. That's
whether
why,
or not I enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. It's Theology Thursday. Pastor Jarrett Petro joining us in studio. You're a busy man.
Sometimes, you know. I try to keep busy, you know. Yeah. It's a good busy.
Yeah.
I mean, school kicked in, you know, all your kids are back in school. You know, ministry just continues to just go forward, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, someone's got to do it, you know what I mean?
Preach it.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, so we are here. We're hanging out with you. We got a few email questions to get to, I know. studio@star88.fm is the email address. But we also love hearing your voice because we can communicate back and forth in case there's secondary questions.
True.
Thirdary questions.
Tertiary.
Speaking of someone gotten to do it, yesterday's question of the day caused quite a stir.
It did.
New reality TV show. You know, we're talking about The View. There's a new reality TV show called So You Think You Can Preach.
Yes.
So You Think You Can Preach.
And we had mentioned we would.
Oh, you're being serious.
Mention it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
When are we not serious?
This is real. We posted it yesterday on our Facebook page, facebook.com/star88fm. But it's a promo right now. They're trying to get funding for it, and so we found the actual video. Are you gonna?
Yeah, I'm gonna queue up. One
are you
of
sure
the...
Matt didn't create this? In
no,
his
this is
bedroom.
Real life.
Are you sure you don't want to get punched right now? Telling people my
so
secrets.
So you think you can preach? They're
Hello,
really
my name
pitching
is Greg
it.
Davis.
Oh, here we
go. I'm so excited to introduce you to a brand new TV show. So You Think You Can Preach?
That's right.
Wow.
So
now what this is? What you're hearing? This is a pitch video.
Yeah.
It's not actually on a network yet. They're trying to get a network to pick it up.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
And we posted this video on our Facebook yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you missed it,
you can catch it.
Let's go to one of the quote contestants.
Okay.
Okay. That's the host lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a real deal.
A real reality show where if you win, basically, you'll have the opportunity
to preach
in front of X amount of mega churches. There's.
Right.
No.
Okay. X amount of churches.
Is what a solid foundation is about. So what is your plan?
Oh boy.
What is your plan with God?
Mm.
What is your plan with each other?
His voice is awesome.
It's time to seize the day.
Okay.
That's, oh, they said that's they said, he's
close
not
the book. No. Close the Bible.
They said, don't seize that day.
No. FYI, this was filmed in Detroit, Michigan.
Peter and John said, yeah, in the name of Jesus, I love rise up and walk. Took him by the hand.
I think he wins right there.
Got him up. If he you didn't could just do- walk, but he jumped.
Tell me a little bit about what this process was like for you coming to support your
Okay, so obviously we're joking.
Bono could actually do a better job than that. But let me say, you know, it's interesting because you look at, I think it's in 2 Timothy where it talks about that in the last days they will heap up teachers according to their own desire and to itch their ears. So, you know what? It would not even shock me or surprise me that this TV show would be successful.
Yeah.
Because, and then there would be this... the world picking which preacher preaches to them or not. So, man, it's mind-boggling.
What's interesting in the show is the mentions of the pastors or the preachers that they're talking about. So you think you can preach, you know, will you be the next T.D. Jakes or Creflo Dollar? And Creflo Dollar was the pastor who was recently in the news because he was asking for $65 million for a jet. And then you see this, and it very much seems like, you know, this is definitely going to be one of those shows you'll see, you'll catch on like, well, I don't want to diss a network.
Yeah, right.
Know, but
that kind of network.
Because there are great programs. TBN?
Something like that.
And there's
the
great programs
Daystar?
On the, like, the local
is that the other
TBN,
one?
TBN, you know?
What's the other one?
Yeah.
There's three major ones.
Hey, I've
TBN,
done interviews Daystar. On those shows.
Yeah, me too.
The
local crew here, I will be honest, I remember when me and Steve Ryman, we went down there for something, and before we walked in there, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be... And then I got there, and it was like, oh, and they're not all, like, big hair. And it
sure,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, slaying people and, like...
You know, it's just fascinating. I thought you were totally joking, but that is like, the real deal.
This is real life.
Oh, my goodness.
So you think you can preach, and, you know, the winner will get the opportunity to preach at a few mega churches, $25,000 cash.
And a new car!
Yeah, you know, isn't it weird, though, we put such an emphasis on... stuff like that. I mean, we're putting an emphasis on someone who preaches rather than the value of just the Word of God. The Word of God itself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. We live in a funny generation.
Well, what's,
you know?
What's interesting is, as you look at this TV show, what they're trying to do, you've got the blind auditions, basically, where it's like, and yeah, the Lord said, and you got to rise up. And then he's got the hanky, and it's like crazy. But then they were talking about like different rounds, like continuing on in this competition. It was like, we're going to give you a verse in the Bible, and you've got 5 minutes to come up with them. Like, seriously.
Wow.
And there was like
that.
A lightning round where they're going to give them three topics, and then they have to preach on those
topics. They have to preach on those topics, like, right away. And so it's like, man,
anything's
going to
be coming out of
you. Yeah. And like, how do you, because as a pastor, when you are going to teach,
right.
I mean, is it one of those things where you just pull something out of the hat and you're like, oh, yeah, well, Passover, cool.
Apparently, according to the TV show, you know.
Sweet, man.
Oh, man.
I know all about the Passover.
We're going to talk about prosperity. Old Testament circumcision. Yeah.
Look, prosperity's been passing over me since I was a kid. I know about both
passing
of those
over.
Things. Yeah. Hardcore.
Yeah.
I'm ready
you
for
tied
some
both
purple-haired
in.
Prosperity.
You know, you would do well. You would do well.
I would do
you
really
just
well.
Just tied in the Passover with, you know, what is it?
Let's talk about the theology of teaching, though, because as we talk about so you think you can preach, you know, there's going to be those that see that and go, oh, I could totally do that, bro. But as a pastor, I mean, you have a calling on your life as a pastor.
Absolutely, yeah.
What does that look like, biblically speaking?
Yeah, well, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, what it looks like is, according to Ephesians chapter 4 is a good place to start. It talks about, you know, God gave gifts unto men, and that there is a certain office that God calls a pastor to. And, you know, as a pastor, you're teaching through the Word. The Bible talks about line upon line, precept upon precept, and the importance of going through Scripture, all 66 books of the Bible, you know, and it's unity, if you will, from Genesis to Revelation. So when you're preparing for even a message, you have to know the Word inside and out. It's not something that you, again, pull out of your hat. You have to know the history. You have to know the proper hermeneutic of a passage, how it falls into line according to its, you know, the literal interpretation of it, you know, the literary style, whether it's a narrative, whether it's a historical, you know, account, or if it's a letter, or if it's, you know, who is it directed to, you know, there's so much involved that it takes hours of study really to even put a message together. So especially, you know, and there is a difference. I will say this, in the Bible often talks about the difference between preaching and teaching. Jesus said, you know, when you preached, it was, you know, it said he preached to the multitudes, but he taught his disciples. So generally, the idea for any pastor is that when you preach to the unbeliever. Mm. And that's not preaching at, but rather preaching with the idea that it's proclamation. You're proclaiming truth, you're declaring truth, but it's not the idea that we see, you know, even in modern times where it's like this preaching to, you know, down at somebody, yeah. but just proclaiming truth. And then, so the preaching is declaring truth and proclamation with evangelism usually tied into it. But if you did that every Sunday and you preached at your church, to the body, they're not going to grow unless there's teaching involved. It takes both. It takes the preaching and then it takes the teaching. And oftentimes, you know, we see that in a church where Sunday mornings you can have a preaching style, but then there's the teaching maybe even through the week where there's teaching and methodically going through a passage. So that's my spin on it.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it cool if I liked this from Star 88's page? Maybe no. That happened.
No.
Maybe I want to get an interview with these people, and that's the first step.
First of all, we went to their Facebook page, 8 likes. So
wow.
Most people actually have this little thing called discernment, and there's a lot of messages.
Not me. Let's interview these people.
Let's do it.
That's one thing to interview them. I would love to get them on the show to talk about the motivation behind it, why they're doing what they're doing, because it seems like the very real motivation is money. You know,
Doing this TV show.
But I don't know that that's actually going to come to fruition.
Well, here's the thing.
Man.
You have people on both sides posting on this Facebook.
Oh, really?
Even though only 8 people like it, you have a bunch of people jumping in on the combo.
Okay.
And some people, one lady started a petition at change.org to shut this thing down.
Wow.
But only a few people have signed it, so I don't know. But there's one guy saying that he's defending it. He says, because somebody wrote, you do not have pure motives, therefore you are condemned even before you start. You still have time to repent. Which sounds super positive. But this other guy says, did God tell you this, or is this how you personally feel? This is not modeled for the world system. It's a system modeled for the world. We the people, the body of Christ, need exactly this, the word of God spreading. I don't know about you, but in today's world, there are no pure motives. But when something representing God comes in effect, Satan and even Christians are quick to destroy it. You say you've been a Christian for a very long time, but Christianity is not a job. It's what you are. We know what the Bible says, and even the enemy can quote the Bible, but instead of talking your negative thoughts, pray for us. Pray that what is going on here may be done righteously in Jesus' name. Rebuke the negativity in Jesus' name. Forgive those who do not know what they do or say in Jesus' name. Guess what? Jesus did for us was model from the world system as well, huh? It doesn't have to make sense to you, just to God. And please don't throw scripture upon someone in a confronting manner. They are meant to be
taught. There's a lot going on there.
And glorified.
Yeah, he's not done.
Not just what you did. God still loves you, but never try to destroy what God is building. Read Isaiah chapter 61. I read it every day. God bless you.
This goes to me into the theology of false prophets and how you confront them and do you confront them. Because you see Paul, and there are times where it's like, false prophet! And then there are other times where it's like, hey, he's preaching the word of God. And even if that dude's going to get struck down and destroyed, the word of God will go on and go forward.
That's
so
right.
Let him preach, you know? So it's like, so do we just say, right on, bro? Or is this one where we hammer him?
I think, you know, when it comes to something like, you know, obviously the TV show is one thing, and, you know, whether it's successful or not, but, you know, the guy's comment, when you think about, you know, just your, you know, asking the question about a false teacher, a good passage I think of is in 2 Peter chapter 2, where it talks about false prophets. It says, there are false prophets that are among the people. Also, there will be false teachers among you who will separate, or secretly bring in destructive heresies, and who will secretly bring in, you know, denying the Lord Jesus Christ and bring in swift destruction. And so, to me, it's almost like, oftentimes within the church, we see this all throughout church history, there are false teachers, there can be false preachers within the actual church. They're not outside, and they're oftentimes hidden. You know, they're like, as the Bible talks about, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're subtle, they're doing things. And so, that are bringing destructive heresies, and that are denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, something like this, I don't know. I just I stay far away from it personally. Yeah. Just
aren't we
because
all
of it.
Technically in sheep's clothing if we're wearing cloth?
Yes, that's true.
Like, yeah, because mm-hmm. like 100%. Comes from like yeah. wool from sheep's.
If you're Scottish, like, yeah, of course.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
Okay, here's my idea. Last little bit about this show.
Yeah,
we
man.
Have a friend named Steve Lowry. We call him Robo Steve.
Yes.
I really want him to go for this. I think it would be awesome.
Could you imagine? Oh, man.
It would be so good. Robo, I know you're listening, man. Hop on this. Call us. Call us and we'll discuss it. Yeah. Call us. We want you to be on So You Think You Can Preach.
It's just such a terrible idea. One, they're already ripping off another show, So You Think You Can Dance. Like, it's not even an original name for a show. Once again, just showcasing the creativity of Christians, you know, by ripping off something that's already out there and successful.
Man, that's what I'm talking about.
Which is a frustration in and of itself, but...
You know what's amazing is the thought, you know, just like the prophets of Baal when Elijah confronted them, you have these false prophets who, you know, they're great communicators out there that are not, you know, Christian, and they can, you know, preach, if you will. I've listened to great communicators preach in a way that is unbelievable, you know, because they're great communicators. And that's even what the Bible says, that there would be false teachers and preachers that are able to, you know, have an eloquent words. And you know, even Paul, as eloquent as he was, he even opposed that to a certain extent by saying, I didn't come to you with eloquence of speech. I didn't come with, you know, obviously, you know, but I came to you in the power of the Spirit and the cross of Jesus Christ. And so I think we just need to be careful of those things. I think it's a display of humanism and having people judge you. And the important thing about preaching and true preaching and true teaching is for eyes to be brought onto the person of Jesus Christ, not onto the person actually the instrument doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And never should be about the musician or the person teaching the word, the pastor per se. So you got to be careful with that. That's, you know, it's elevating man and not the word of God. You
and
know what I mean?
A lot of times it can tear down the church because of the man. I want to talk about John Oliver coming up here in a minute, but I know we got a phone call that I want to get to.
Sure.
But talking about that very thing, comedian John Oliver, you see the flip side of what happens when you abuse the word of God. So, welcome to Theology Thursday. Hello.
How y'all doing?
Okay.
Good.
Well,
good.
All right. What's up, Gentry?
Dang.
How'd you know it was me, dude?
Man, dude, because
that's a great accent.
You have the worst
hey, out there.
Fake voices ever. Always.
I was just trying to sound like Mateo.
I know, man. That was
a good effort.
Close.
I thought it was good. No, you got a 10 here,
terrible.
Man.
What's up, man?
I just wanted to see if you guys could give me some encouragement. I'm heading to another audition.
Okay. Oh, are you? You're doing.
Yeah.
You want encouragement during Theology Thursday? Do you want
Absolutely.
The theology?
Wait, are you going to audition for So You Think You Can Preach?
Okay.
No, dude, that I don't really know what I think of that.
Yeah. I wish you were. I'd give you all the encouragement.
I know,
me
too. I hear you, bro.
No, what's going on?
I'm auditioning for a new show called So You Think You Can Burp.
Oh, okay. Well,
hey, man.
And wanted to know if I could go ahead and audition for you guys.
You can audition.
Serious theology show just took a turn.
Yeah, it did.
It's
well,
good,
you know, that's my MO. People actually took the words right out of my mouth about originality of Christians, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, thanks for stealing my thunder, Steve-O. Have a great day.
Hey, yeah.
that's what they call him, Thunder Stealer.
No, I love, you know what? That was good because that's what people think. I mean, obviously, you know, he just summarized the whole deal. I mean, it really, you know, that's like, is that what we've gotten to, you know? So,
and here's what sucks. Like,
no wonder.
That's from a Christian brother calling in and saying, hey, Christians, be original. Sadly, there's a hilarious sometimes comedian named John Oliver, and he got a hold of some of these preachers that are basically being showcased on So You Think You Can Preach. He is not a Christian in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And he started a
quote, church.
Unquote, a ministry, if you will, mocking the church for the simple fact that churches are untouched when it comes to tax dollars. They don't pay taxes, this and that, blah, 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 blah. And unfortunately, his crazy monologue mm-hmm. wasn't far off, because it was showcasing Creflo Dollar. It was showcasing all of these prosperity preachers. Right. And so he went through, you can find the video. It's laced
Our Lady of Perpetual Exemption.
Our Lady of Perpetual Exemption. That's what it's called. That's seriously what his church is called. But he was able to, in America, start a church, do all these things.
Yeah, just like a regular nonprofit.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was called Our Lady of Perpetual
Exemption.
Exemption. And so he went through what it would be like on one of these prosperity preachers mm-hmm. Who were like, send us your money. So he sent him, you know,
right.
$20 or something like that. And he did this correspondence over the course of, I believe, a year. And at the end of it, he was like $400 lighter, because he kept sending money, because it was, no, now send this back. And we sent you a dollar. Now we need you to pray over that dollar and send back 49 more with this dollar.
And he got people to do it.
And so he was, no, he was just following
what
from
they
an
do,
actual
yeah.
pastor.
Amazing.
On, you know, on yeah. one of the Christian
sure.
television networks.
Mirroring it, yeah.
And not mirroring it. He was actually following, I don't want to say the name of the pastor, a real pastor.
Oh, so this is, yeah, that's crazy.
Going through, and it was essentially, you know, 6 to 8 months later,
yeah.
he was $400 lighter because he had kept sending money, because he was like, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing what they're telling me to do. And he kept doing it. And then he got a little hanky at one point, and he got this at one point. And so he's basically highlighting how ridiculous
sure.
Christianity is. And
yeah.
from that point of view, it's like, oh, man, this sucks. Because,
well, that is not Christianity.
No.
And obviously for our listeners who, you know, maybe you hear about a category like this. This is what, you know, the Bible obviously spoke about. It's not like, you know, Peter or James in the early church had this, you know, huge ministry where they were preaching in a way that was, you know, drawing people into themselves. That's the key. You can always tell a false teacher. You had asked earlier about the fruit of a false teacher. How would you know?
Yeah.
Is oftentimes in Scripture, and like I mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says they draw people unto themselves. They're building their own kingdom. You see that their name is exalted, that it's really all about them rather than the person of Jesus Christ. But even the fruit within their ministry, because we even see this among evangelists today, mm-hmm. even people are right on that they have, is it wrong to have a radio station, wrong to have a church, you know,
yeah.
that has your name on a bulletin or something like that. That's not necessarily wrong, obviously,
yeah.
because the motive, you got to question, is there the fruit that proves it? Like, and what I mean is love coming there? Is coming from that fellowship, the love of Jesus Christ? Is there evidence of faith? Is there evidence of true faith? You know, not this, you know, prosperous, like, if yeah. you do this, then this will happen. You know, if you give this money, then this will happen. That is all based on works. And again, false teachers, they deny the person of Jesus Christ. The overarching theme of false teachers is they never really talk about who Jesus is. They usually leave that out. Their emphasis is placed upon who they are as a celebrity, if you will,
yeah.
rather than the person of Jesus Christ. So it's all twisted. I mean, think about the modern church. It's kind of weird, you know what I mean? When
yeah.
you think about that area of when we see like different radio or TV stations that have that kind of stuff on there, unfortunately, that is going on in the name of Christianity, but it's not Christianity.
It was a really condemning monologue, in that you see all of this stuff coming from the prosperity movement, and it was a personal story at one point of a daughter who watched her mom die mm-hmm. because
I heard about that.
She believed mm. that if she just kept sending money, she kept sending thousands of dollars, because if you only send this seed gift, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever it was called, that it's going to plant a seed in this ministry, and God's going to do, you know, abundantly more than you can ask, fathom, think. And so you just give this much money and you're going to be healed. And so this woman with cancer did not go to doctors because she believed and she had faith, quote unquote, and she died.
Yeah, and it was a lack of faith if she didn't believe, right?
And that's yeah. what you hear on the flip side is, oh, well, she just didn't have enough faith. She didn't send enough money. And that is so.
That's often, yeah, you see that within.
And on a YouTube video in this generation, and they see that's enough for somebody to go, pass.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, that is their version of Christianity. That's what they see, which is why it's so important for us true believers to be that light and to show the love of Christ and say, hey, that's not it. Because unfortunately, on this Facebook generation, we were just talking about it this morning. You look at what happened this week with Donald Trump and this reporter from Univision. People can spin things however they want. You know, Donald Trump's at a press conference. And the video clip that I think is being highlighted right now is him basically going, go back to Univision. Ah, and then it's like, he's a racist. He did this. Mm. What you don't see is it was a press conference. Right. He called on somebody else. This guy jumps up out of nowhere, out of turn, and starts speaking out. And he's like, hey, you got to wait your turn. Wait your turn. Wait your turn. Mm-hmm. But you don't see all that.
Right.
You know, because it's political season, so you just see the trash. Mm-hmm. But it really highlights how easily we're deceived.
Can be spun,
by believing in the way that the media can spin something in 12 seconds.
Oh, sure. And that's absolutely.
And we hang our theology on that crap, you know? And so.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, I think the beauty of a ministry like even, you know, what we do here on the radio station and Theology Thursday is something that, you know, you're hearing the word, you know, that's being taught even with our other, you know, station here with KNKT, being able to teach the word of God. And, you know, being a person that's in the word yourself is, you know, I was thinking about this morning is how important it is to be in the Word of God and growing yourself on your own, just reading through the Word. And as you go through the Bible, allowing God to speak to you personally and letting God just speak directly, because you're not going to find any of that stuff that we see on YouTube that's trying to redefine or have a version of their own Christianity that's this, you know, basically, you know, fraud. It's these false teachers. You don't find any of that stuff in the scriptures.
Yeah.
You don't find any of it, you know, whether someone's slain in the spirit and all this kind of stuff. You don't find it in scripture. The only time God slew somebody was when he killed them, you know what I mean? So it's not based on judgment. So it's not like, you know, you just don't find the prosperity. You know, Jesus was a man without a home. You know, he was didn't have a place to lay his head. So you don't have that. And so if that's not in scripture, and if you don't know the Word of God, what happens is you will grab onto anything and believe anything.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, you know, it's not like you got to be poor and you got to give up it. Because just a week ago on Wednesday night, Pastor Skip talked about that very thing about how sometimes we get it wrong because people will say that money is the root of all evil. And it's like, whoa, okay. First of all, it's the love of money is a root, you know.
Right.
And he was talking about that last Wednesday. And so
yeah, there's a balance.
There is
sure.
a balance.
Oh, sure.
Because I think some people in turn will go, well, what about you? You got a car? You got there, but obviously, you know, you're not a real Christian unless you're homeless. It's
that's
like,
right.
Okay, well, here we go. So,
well, that's, you know, I just think to our listeners again, when we think about false prophets and teachers, you know, when you a good passage to look at is First Peter and Second Peter, you know, in the New Testament talks thoroughly about, you know, recognizing false teachers because they have destructive ways. They're bending truth. It's not lining up with scripture. The fruit is evident that you don't see the love of Christ coming from their life. They deny the person of Jesus Christ and who he is as far as being fully man and fully God. Mm. So, you know, I guess my encouragement would be to read the Word of God. You know, be in a good Bible teaching church
that
is not only preaching, but teaching the Word of God. So,
absolutely.
Hey, Mateo, I think we have a few other questions
man,
on there, too.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in with email questions, studio@star88.fm. What do we got?
If Adam and Eve were the first two people on Earth, where did Cain's wife come from?
Oh, Jared. That's it. I always love that one. No, that's a classic question in the sense that, you know, where did Cain's wife come from? Well, if you look in Genesis from chapter 3, after what is known as the fall, where Adam and Eve do, you know, fall from, you know, the presence of God's kingdom, and so they're cast out, you realize that obviously they have, you know, Adam and Eve have sons, and they would even have daughters under them. Oftentimes the Bible would just recognize the firstborn son related to a family. And so even when Cain is, he leaves his home, if you will, and he goes out, you know, there's obviously the production of mankind in the, you know, over time. And you know the sequence when you look at that, that several hundred years have passed by the time this has even happened. So yeah. When you just, even with mathematically, you know that they had sons and daughters unto them. And the Bible says that Adam and Eve not only had Cain and Abel, we're just told about the story in the narrative, but it says they also had additional sons and daughters unto them. So Cain's wife would have most likely been his sister, right. One of his sisters. And so someone would say, oh, that's gross and all that. And it is to a certain extent when we
right,
think about
to
us. Yeah. But back then, of course, because of the purity of the DNA, but over time, of course, it would begin to be convoluted. But, you know, the obviously he would have married a cousin or a sister or something of that sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that would be my best take at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
married
I mean,
a sister.
Not where you're
makes
from.
Makes sense, but not like, yeah. I mean, maybe from Taylor's from Mississippi, so a little
yeah,
bit of
Mississippi
joke, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. I don't want to
yeah.
go there.
Just, that's
you
that's
went
pretty
there.
Weird.
I did, but I was like mocking myself. That,
I gotcha.
I would have, yeah, looked like an idiot.
Cool.
It is Theology Thursday. Phone lines are open.
Yeah.
505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also send us an email, studio@star88.fm. That's studio@star88.fm. Dude, next week, next week's going to be crazy.
Next week is going
to
be crazy.
We've got Dr. Norm.
Dr. Norman Geisler.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be able to interview Dr. Norman Geisler.
Now,
that'll be fun.
He's got a new book that Beenix keeps close to the vest that we've seen but not gotten
yeah.
to like hold.
I have that
ourselves.
Book. I should give
Do
you a copy.
You?
Yes.
Gosh.
No, pause.
Okay.
He gave us a copy of the book.
Well,
it's sitting in my office.
Are you
oh,
serious?
See, Mateo has it, and you don't even... He's holding out.
Yeah.
Oh, but Norman sorry. Geisler, great. He wrote a book on 100 questions that,
yeah.
you know, generally most people ask, and, you know, the idea of where did evil come from, and all
mm-hmm.
these, you know, why is there suffering? You know, what do you do with this, you know, situation? And he goes through and talks about all that.
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest,
of the
like,
book is
theological
really cool.
minds. Yeah.
Because it's questions.
And yeah,
it's
exactly.
answers.
Straight to
and
the
so
point.
So that's really cool. We got together with Beenix, and Beenix basically highlighted a few of the questions that he thought we should cover.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to be
it's
super
gonna be good.
Fun.
Yeah. yeah. It's
fun.
It's not every day that you get to just have a one-hour
right.
hangout session with Dr. Geisler, who's one of the most brilliant theologians of our time. So.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So,
looking forward to it.
If you have, you know, questions next week.
Next week.
We
start to post them now. Yeah.
yeah.
On any topic, you know, I mean, that's, you know, these, some we're going to hit some of the heavy hitter questions, you know, definitely with why is there evil, you know, is God the initiator of that? Why is there suffering in the world? Where did sin come from? These ideas that man has been obviously dealing with, we're going to solve here next week.
Well, I think a lot of times we try and make sense
makes
of
sense
something that, senseless, you know,
yeah.
honestly.
Well, it seems senseless to right?
Well, I mean,
yeah, is that
looking
what you mean?
At yesterday in the news, obviously on the news,
mm-hmm.
the shooting that happened in Virginia. This senseless,
yeah.
senseless act of violence, and yet already it's one of those. Hey, man, where's God? Where
yeah.
was God? So sometimes I think we get caught up trying to find that that textbook answer of
yeah,
well,
exactly.
if this, and we can get hung up on certain things. I would love to talk about this actually because we had a good friend. We talked about this off air, and he has a son right now who is a teenager who's dealing with death, dealing with the concept of death, dealing with the concept of eternity, and he just doesn't know where to go because his son is not necessarily stoked on the idea of eternity because it just seems exhausting.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And as you talk about it, you know, anxiety kind of builds up. What kind of advice, you know, as a dad and as a pastor, would you have for somebody who, you know, as we try and you know, make
yeah.
sense of that. And I don't mean make sense, you know, we're
it's
talking
good,
about the
question.
Infinite with this finite brain trying to fathom what eternity is going to look at.
Right.
How do we begin to unpack that with our children about what heaven, what eternity is going to
sure.
be?
Sure. I would say even if you don't mind, I'll take two steps back.
No,
one
absolutely.
Is I'd like to think about, you know, we'll talk about eternity in a second, but let's talk about death and life and,
yes.
and eternal life. I go back to even Genesis chapter 2 where God, it says in the scriptures that he planted a garden in Eden and he created a tree of life and he created, you know, the other tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, the day that you eat of this tree, you know, you'll have life, the tree of life. But the day you eat of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be open and you will die.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is Eve does that. Obviously, she obeys the voice of the devil versus the voice of God. And she takes the fruit, finds that it's pleasurable to her eye. It's going to make her wise, be like God, if you will. She eats it and they are exposed. For whatever was their covering, they realize that they lost that covering, and they go and they hide themselves and cover themselves with leaves, right? Yeah. And then God comes in the garden, and the whole story unfolds, and God therefore lays out certain standards, curse upon the world and work and such. The interesting thing is that they didn't die physically right then and there. So was God lying? And the answer to that is no, because right at that time, I believe that is where death must be defined in two ways. One is, it is physical death. We know that. It eventually comes. But death to God, there's another definition of separation. Death means separation. Separation from God's presence. We know that because Adam and Eve, therefore, were kicked out of God's presence at that moment, his actual visible presence before them, to outside this garden, this place where he could fellowship with them. So death, just thinking of that, even speaking to a child, that death is not, it doesn't end, I guess is what I'm trying to say, with the physicality. It doesn't end with that. Death is something that is means separated, and there is death of spiritual death. There's one other definition of death, and that is eternal death or separation, eternal separation from God. So there are three definitions in death in the Bible that the Bible talks about. The physicality, where someone lives and they die, the physical life. Secondly, where they are already, even when you're born, you're separated from God,
yeah,
in the sense of you need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born again and made alive. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that he made us alive. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, that we're not just sick people who come to get better. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a whole brand new life. Right. We were dead, and we're like the walking dead, you know, that God made us alive. So it's more than just me. When I first came to Christ, you know, realizing that death, trying to grasp what that means, was just having a better life and an easier life in heaven someday. But when I realized that I was truly dead, you know, in my spirit to God and all that, that's how God defined death. I knew I was going to die physically someday, but realizing that in God's view, I was already dead, that I had to be made alive and born again, then that made, it all came together. I realized that that separation is where everybody is apart from Christ. What happens is when a person dies, and the Bible says that it's been appointed man to die once and then they're to face judgment, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. When that happens, that person will see God face to face. In that moment, they're alive in the spirit, but they will either be eternally separated from God for all of eternity. That is eternal death,
yeah,
which is considered the second death, according to the Bible, where they will die and be eternally separated. That's true death. So when I think of that, and then I think of life, life is not really, we have biological life. So when you understand death, then it's easy to understand life, and I'll be quick with this one. But life, physically, is you're born from your mother's womb,
mm-hmm,
and you're biologically alive, but you're not spiritually alive until you come to know Christ, until God opens your heart and you receive him and da-da-da-da, you know, as we talked about. You're dead in your sin. When you're born again, you're sealed for all of eternity, so you automatically, by receiving Christ, you not only receive the you have physical life is better, if you will, in the sense of the peace of God. You may be physically ill. You know you're still going to die physically, but you still your eternal life will be, it will be full. It'll be complete. So you will go and spend eternity in the very presence of God. That is what eternal life is, to be in the very presence of God for all of eternity, which is life and peace and goodness and kindness. It's all of his nature and being in the very presence of God. So when you think of eternity, every person will be raised up from the grave, the Bible says, according to John chapter 5. The dead unto eternal condemnation, and those who were dead that had received Christ unto eternal life. The Bible says in John chapter 5 that they will hear the voice of God. Jesus will speak. He has that kind of authority. And the bodies will be raised up out of the graves, and he will judge them. Imagine that. Yeah. The dead and the living. The quick and the dead is what it's called, according to the old King James. The quick and the dead. And he will judge them. Mm. And based on that, how his relationship is with them, because he is the life, he's the giver of life. He even declared that of himself, I am the life, right? The truth, you know, the way, the truth, and the life. If he is life itself, he has the ability to grant life to anybody. So in that moment, I would think that as we go into eternity, it's either spending eternity separated from his presence or in his presence. Mm. That's the difference of eternal death and eternal life.
Man, and
I hope that helps.
And here's something that you touched upon actually kind of ties into our question that we got on Facebook, because you talked about being made alive in Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And we actually had a question about sin.
My pastor says I should go back to my ex instead of remarrying, but that was a bad situation. He says that the forgiveness of Christ does not legitimize sin, which, since God hates divorce, that's a sin. But if Christ's blood has truly cleansed us, made us white as snow, and we are truly forgiven and made flawless after true repentance, why can I not remarry? Does God forgive with strings attached? And am I not to ever be in a healthy, happy marriage relationship?
A lot of good things there as far as questions.
Like,
I'll go backwards.
10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Crazy.
No, it's a good question. Let me answer
it's
the.
It's a great question.
Let me answer the back part of that. Yes, you can be happily married, and also, no, there are no strings attached in God's forgiveness, because it's an unconditional covenant. It's what Christ did on the cross, and what he accomplished. And so he said by his own words, by his own volition, he said, it is finished, it is over, it's complete. And so when he said that word, and it's translated as we hear, tetelestai, means it's complete. It means the payment has been, it's been paid in full. Is actually, he paid the bill. That's what the word means in Greek. It's been paid, it's sufficient, and it's totally complete. So our forgiveness, based upon what Christ has done, is never dependent on us, no matter what hoops we jump through, no matter what I do in my life. And that is what oftentimes scholars will say, no one will be in hell necessarily because of sin, because that's been paid for, but rather because of the rejection of the way of salvation, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. They will be in hell because they rejected God's choice of how he would save us, and that is his son, because sin has been paid for. Now, in this situation where there's a divorce and a remarriage, again, we don't know the layers of this, but I will say, it is not something that, you know, if there was a relationship and let's say that relationship broke off, you know, divorce in actually the Hebrew term means to be divided. Yeah. And just because someone gets papers doesn't mean that that's when the divorce happens. Division happens way before a paper signed. So oftentimes in a relationship with a husband and a wife, there can be a division in the heart, and it can be a division to where they're divided. And in that division, it leads to paperwork and they sign it. But so often we live in a, you know, in this legal bound world and works based world where we're like, okay, I'm not truly divorced until the paper signed. So it's really an issue of the heart. If I'm divorced the second day I marry my wife and I've never really been in love with her and, you know, committed to her, you know, then I'm really truly divorced or divided in my heart, right? So the idea goes back to, if that division happens, Christ did say there is grace by God given, and he even talks about this in Matthew, that God permitted, if you will, in his will, that there could be a divorce. And it was based on certain elements. It was based on if there was infidelity. There were certain things that were legal and binding and things that were allowed, if you will. So we know it's not like an unpardonable sin. We know that it's an issue that we deal with in our current generation on a massive scale.
Yeah.
We know the result of divorce and what it accomplishes. What does it do? It destroys lives. We know that. In this situation, if there's been forgiveness and both parties, both husband and wife, if there's been a settling and forgiveness between both of them, even though they had been divided or divorced, and there is a settling and peace, Paul says it's better to live at peace and be divided that way, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7. So even to, for our listener, if you read 1 Corinthians 7 and also Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8, you realize Paul said we were married in Romans chapter 7 to the law. And when the law died, we were remarried to grace in Christ. If you read that consecutively, you really realize that Romans 7 and 8 is talking about marriage to the law and being born again in grace, and we're remarried in the person of Christ. So, and but this person or this law had to die. So there is, if that is what's happened in a relationship, there's been death to those issues, and there's peace, and there's a reestablishment. Those people could either remarry, or if they with somebody else, there should never be this restraint. So if I'm understanding this right, if the pastor's saying, you can't do that, that's sin, or whatever, and, I apologize ahead of time, I don't know the details related to this, or maybe other things unspoken.
Yeah, this is more of a generalization.
Right. I'm just saying that that the Bible talks about that we can be, have that peace, you know. The idea is that if there is division, though, before the actual papers are signed, or if there is a divided heart, for you to get together with God and that person you love and really try to work things out. Obviously, you want there to be resolution, right, and really work through things and not divorce. I mean, we see divorce, it ruins so many lives, but the Bible does permit. There are things within the scriptures that say, yeah, you can be, there is under remarriage, and there's nothing sinful about that.
Yeah.
So that
hopefully that answers helped at least a little bit, because again, it is a generalization, because it's hard to give a solid answer when it's like, well, here's the over,
yeah, here's, well, here's my situation,
a very generalized question, but it is a good question, because you see that in scripture where it's like, God will forgive you of all your sins. Now, if you were a Christian and you got married and then you got a divorce and it's not for adultery, but it's for something outside of that, then you're an adulterer forever.
Yeah.
Wait, but what about, nope, adulterer.
And
you can never remarry. And it's like, wow, dude, that's,
and the end of that question serious was really like, or his statement was, am I never supposed to be happy again? Is this whole idea, I think what really bothers him is not even their marriage issue, but the issue of forgiveness. He's like, I know where I stand with God, and between my spouse and I, we're forgiven, and I'm moving forward, she's moving forward. So go to scripture and look, because the Bible doesn't talk about this as one specific sin to where it separates you from God. If there's true repentance and unto the Lord, and maybe there was infidelity and God, is working through that, and, but you've turned and said, I'm recommitting my life to Christ, and there's forgiveness on both parties. Again, in 1 Corinthians 7 talks about keeping that sense of peace and that, on both sides, and just say, you can experience God's forgiveness and you can be happy. I mean, God doesn't want you to live in a state of strings are attached, and if I do this, then this. I mean, can you imagine living that way?
Right.
Yeah, that's based on works, and that.
Well, it's funny. We keep having this commentary off air with friends talking about that very thing, because, it can sometimes feel burdensome to be a Christian if you're not following God's word, and if you're not actually digging into scripture, because I remember as a teenager, growing up Baptist, everything was a burden,
yeah.
And it seemed very burdensome. Jesus is like, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, except if you follow me actually, because then it's really difficult.
Really hard, yeah.
You're like, wait, what? And it's like guilt and shame and condemnation and all these things. And so when we get questions like that, it's always interesting to discuss them, because there could be strings. Maybe one of the parties isn't reconciled.
That's right.
Maybe somebody did commit adultery and one of them wants to stay, but the other one doesn't want to stay, and now they're trying to fight it out. And
exactly.
So, especially when talking about marriage, which I think is probably why scripture talks so in depth about marriage, because it is a lifelong commitment and it is very difficult. A lot of times you don't hear that. It's like, oh, I just, I'm a teenager, can't wait to get married so I can have sex.
Yeah.
And that's about as deep as the conversation goes.
Yeah.
And then you look at God's word, and for those of you who have not married yet, I mean, think about that. This is what it talks about.
And
it is very, very clear. Hey, if you get divorced and it's for any other reason than this, then guess what? Adulterer, big A. And it may not be that very thing that we're talking about with, with sin, but there are still earthly consequences. And unfortunately, a lot of times, those can be human judgmental jerks, and losing relationships, losing friendships, losing a job, even losing there are consequences.
Yeah.
And
it reminds me of what we're talking about earlier, just death. No matter what, when you sin, like the Bible says, the price of that, or the wage of it, is death.
Yeah.
And so when you have any kind of sin, even infidelity, let's say, or adultery, what happens is somebody is going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, not physically necessarily, but spiritually, there's going to be death somewhere, whether it's your children, something dies in them, the lack of respect and integrity for you as a father or mother because of what they've, you know, discovered that you were living a lie, or you maybe it's, you know, death of a spouse where spiritually they've died because they found out their whole marriage was based off a lie and, you know, you were having sex behind their back and cheating on them. You know, the wages of sin is death, and somebody dies, and that's the sad reality. God didn't want that to happen. He doesn't want that to be repeated.
It severs the relationship.
It severs the relationship. And let's face it, no wonder God talks so much about marriage, because marriage oftentimes it's supposed to reflect our relationship with Christ, the bride and the groom. Like Christ is the groom, and the church is the bride. We're called that. So when you have a marriage relationship, it's to reflect the actual closest relationship we have with God, you know, in life. And so when that is broken, God, he's all about relationship. And when that's broken, that's a huge deal to him.
Yeah, I heard a pastor once give the illustration that he had vegetables in his garden, and he had worked for so many seasons to get this, like, vine, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you see Wrigley Field and you see all the ivy. And he had this beautiful ivy that had gone up the side, and he was trimming and using this weed whacker, mm-hmm. and had accidentally gotten too close and had severed right at the base, right near the root, these vines. And no matter how beautiful it was and how long it had grown, it instantly severed that from the root. And it was done, and that was the severity of adultery, because that's exactly what it does in that moment. There is that relational death, if you will. And God is a God of reconciliation. God is a God of restoration. But I think, you know, a lot of times we don't think about the consequences beforehand, but only after. Yeah.
And it is a bummer. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you know, we have many people that we know and friends and family that have gone through, you know, tremendous situations like this, and we all know somebody, obviously, because, you know, the rate's huge.
Yeah.
So I like what, Steve-O, you ended with, is God is a God of restoration. Listen, if you have experienced that, you know, when you're walking in sin and you want to experience eternal life, the Bible says that come to Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the giver of life, and you can be restored. God forgives, and he gives life, and that's eternal life.
Amen. Yeah. Man, we are out of time.
Yeah.
Another edition of Theology Thursday in the books. If
next
you
week.
Any part of it, yeah, dude, next
please
week.
Please tune in.
Dr. Norman Geisler, it's going to be incredible. You can get your questions in now. studio@star88.fm. Get them in early.
Do it.
Dr. Norman Geisler, I'm pretty sure the phone lines are going to be jammed.
Yeah, it'll be great.
So it's going to be awesome. A lot of fun. Details on that and all of our podcasts available at star88.fm. That is it for us until tomorrow.
Adios.
Yeah. Peace out.
Thursday is intended to be an informational, Bible-based discussion on issues and questions that listeners present. Hosts, pastors, and guests attempt to provide reliable, accurate information. If you have additional questions or concerns, please contact the pastoral staff at Calvary Albuquerque.